Now we're going to continue today with the second of a series of lessons mainly centered on the 11th chapter of the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews. Now God has given note, basically an honor roll, in this chapter to men and women whom we call heroes of faith. Men and women like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. God's given notice of these men and women here in the New Testament for our learning, that we may strive also to be men and women of faith, who, as Hebrews 11:33-40 tell us, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Remember Daniel? Oh, how friendly the lions were to a man of faith. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, when you're weak, who do you call upon? When you're strong, you don't need God, but when you're weak, and we're all weak, we call upon God. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Sign up, young people. Sign up and be a soldier of the cross. This is what you can expect. You know, the Lord doesn't advertise, join the army and see the world. Go on the Navy and you'll see all these experiences. No, he says, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about. They were tormented. They were destitute. They were afflicted. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Praise God for that. Why are we here today? To hear about the promise, to get the promise, to join the army of the Lord. Now we know by revelation, by becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus, that all the things accomplished by these Bible heroes was accomplished because they believed God and lived by faith. That's the message we have here. These folks here that were tempted, were slain with a sword, were destitute, went those directions because they believed God and lived by faith. And faith gave them access into the grace of God needed to accomplish such acts and deeds for God. That's how you access the grace of God, through faith. Jesus said that faith as small as a grain of mustard seed will bring mountains to move. Do you have any mustard seed in the kitchen, ladies? Little black seeds, tiny little seeds. Get the jar out and say, I wonder how many seeds are here. If your child says, I'm bored, let him count all the seeds in a mustard spice. How many seeds there are? One little tiny seed, God says, will move mountains. Now, in the lives of these heroes of faith, we certainly see the power of faith, for faith moves the hand of God. You want to move the hand of God? Got to do it through faith. For faith moves one to the realm of true reality. We talked about that last week. Where is reality? Reality is God. Reality is God. That's the reality. True sight, as it allows you to extend yourself past your natural senses, for it brings you to spiritual reality and into the realm of God. You want to be in the realm of God, you have to access it by faith. Faith gives substance to what is promised, for it provides evidence of what is believed about unseen and hoped-for realities. Faith makes the future more real than the present, for it opens up the spiritual eye to the unseen. Oh, my eye was opened. I trusted Christ. I asked Him to save me. I repented of my sins, and He opened up my eyes, and I saw the realm of God. Now, if all you do in this life is to depend upon your natural senses, you will never see the world beyond. You will never see the glory of the Lord that is plain and clear to those with eyes of faith. You talk to people with eyes of faith, they can see the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And when they look in the heavens, they see the glory of God. When an unsaved person looks in the heavens, they ho-hum. They don't see the glory of God. Yes, they may see a beautiful sunset and comment on how beautiful it is, but do they give glory to God? Do they realize that God gave them that sight? Now, A.W. Pink, in his exposition of Hebrews, uses the analogy of two men standing on the deck of a ship, looking in the same direction. Now, they're looking in the same direction. One sees nothing. He sees the horizon. He sees all the water. Perhaps the sun is coming up in that direction. We don't know. But he sees nothing. But the other man sees a distant steamer. What's the difference? One can't see the steamer, and one can see the steamer, but the difference is the first man is looking with his unaided eye, whereas the second man is looking through a telescope. Now, there's an simple example of how you can see with a device. Now, faith, then, is the telescope that brings the future promises of God into present focus. God gives us a telescope to see the glory of God. Faith enables us to see the unseen world that the natural man cannot see. Ye must be born again. Why must ye be born again? You got to be given spiritual eyes. These eyes don't do it. Now, in this light, think about the three men of faith in Daniel's time. Now, these three men are not mentioned in Hebrews 11, but certainly we see them as heroes of the faith. What about Hananiah? Anybody know who Hananiah was? Which means beloved of the Lord. And Mishael, which means who is as God. And Azariah, which means the Lord is my help. Anybody know who these are? Who? The three friends of Daniel. What were their names in Babylon? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, when they came and they were in the eunuch's place where they were being taught the Babylonian culture, they said, your names just won't fit here. They're too Jewish. They speak of a foreign god. So we're going to name you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's how we know their names. But those names refer to Babylonian gods. That's politically correct. Way back then, oh, this just doesn't work. We can't refer to anything religious in the government, but we can refer to our gods. And that's the way it is today, isn't it? But they were threatened by the king to bow or burn in the fiery furnace. And what did these fools do? They chose the burning. They chose the burning, for through the eyes of faith, they saw beyond the fire. See what eyes of faith will do? King Nebuchadnezzar saw this fire. Make it 7 times hotter. They got to bow or burn. Make it 7 times hotter. Did these men care? They knew not to be afraid of them that killed the body, and after that have no more that they can do. They weren't afraid. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those that can kill the body. Be afraid of those that can put you in hell. They knew to whom they had to answer. Through eyes of faith, they saw the home of God, a home which the fire would simply be a conduit or channel used to bring them there. In other words, when they went into the fire, that was the transportation that God would use to bring them home. That's what they saw through eyes of faith. They had the kind of faith which gave them assurance so strong that they in concert told the king in Daniel 3:16 and 17, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. What if they smiled? That would really irk the king, wouldn't it? To see someone of faith smiling in spite of the fact that they faced death and burning. And they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Oh, they knew that for certain. They knew that for certain. Nebuchadnezzar's thinking, what's going on with these two? They think they're going to be delivered out of my hand. For they knew by faith that they belonged to God, and obedience to him would please him, and that God was a rewarder of them that diligently sought him. So why would a man or woman of faith think about these things? Why would they consider it? Why would they be careful? If they had been burned, they would have died in faith, and God would reward them abundantly throughout eternity in heaven. So what was there to be careful about? Put that in your heart, for your time may come. You may be threatened with punishment because of your faith. Put that in your heart. Now, don't be careful about this and say, well, you know, bow or burn. That's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. I'm going to bow. Men and women of faith, they burn because they know it's entrance into God. So what was there to consider? God said to them clearly, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So in their minds, the case was closed. See, we're not going to be careful about our answer. We're not going to gather around and say, fellas, what should we do? Let's have a pow-wow. There were no options or other possibilities to consider. Because they believed God, they immediately said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, that's how a person of faith faces adversity. Truly, they were men of great faith, and it was revealed in their willingness to submit to the fire, for faith gave them sight to see beyond the fire. That's what people of faith do. We see beyond the persecution. We see beyond all the things that hurt us and are there to destroy us. Their faith proved the reality of the unseen God as greater than the reality of the flames that were put in place by Nebuchadnezzar. You see how they prioritize things? Flames meant to destroy them, but the reality of the flames were such as to bring them to the throne of God or to show the king the power of their God. That's what they had in their mind. God may take us, wonderful. God may spare us, wonderful. You know, everything's wonderful with people of faith. It's all wonderful. Yeah, but my head's going to be cut off. That's wonderful. Entrance into the throne of God. Now, Jan Hus, who is considered the first church reformer, died for Christ. He was cast into prison and condemned to death because he made known many of the corrupt practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Jan Hus was a believer in God's Word and a man of faith who was burned at the stake. Now, when you're burned at the stake, you would think that the person burning would scream in pain and agony as the flames ate his body up. But the reports are that didn't happen. The reports tell of a singing Hus glorying in the Lord. Now, what would possibly give a man power to do such a thing? I can't imagine it. Can you imagine standing in the middle of all of this wood, all of these branches, all of these things, and then they light the fire and the fire start rising and you sing glory to the Lord? What would give a man such power? Well, it was that his faith made real in that fire the future promises of God. That's what John Hus saw. He didn't see the flames. He didn't feel the flames. He saw the promises of God. So again, we see a man's faith proving the reality of the unseen God as greater than the reality of the flames that burned him to death. You know, so often faith is exercised when sight ceases. You may say to the Lord, I can't find my way out of this dilemma. You're at your wit's end. Oh, faith comes into play. Faith comes to the fore. Faith opens up the eyes to see. The greater the difficulty, the easier for faith. You know, young people, all people, step out for God. We step out for God. I don't know how to do it. It's a dilemma for me, Lord. Step out. As long as there is some natural solution, faith so many times is hidden from view and natural solutions prevail. But God desires to be pleased at all times, and therefore faith is to be exercised at all times. Men and women of faith do not utter the childish phrase, I can do it myself. Have you ever had children that did that? I can do it myself. I can do it myself. You know, they get to that point where they don't need you, Mama. They think, I don't need Mama. Well, they're about 4 or 5 years old. Well, in their mind, they don't need Mama. They can do it themselves. But that's childish. For doing it yourself will only reach so far for God. But God desires that we know at the end of our reach, He is there to reach further. We reach through the eyes of faith, and God reaches further for us. So we are to pray without ceasing, and we are to exercise faith without ceasing. Now again, reading Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, when we are told the elders obtained a good report, this is saying, for by faith the men of old received divine approval. Divine approval. So faith is the means that God has established for receiving His approval. How do you get God to smile down on you? By faith. You know, we are to think of this chapter as a divine report card with all A's. Now, you go down at the proper times in the school year, and there's an honor roll on the bulletin board, and you look at the names and try to find your grandchildren. Oh, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. But they're looking for approval. And if they're on the list, you smile at them and you approve. So this is a chapter as a divine report card with all A's. These men and women of faith knew from whom they would get this report card, for it was not a report from man that they treasured, but a report from God that made a difference in their lives. You know, to whom do you look for approval? Now, that tells a lot about you. To whom do you wives look for approval from your husband? Well, I hope so. I hope so. Do you husbands look for approval from your wife? I hope so. But our ultimate approval ought to be looking to God. That's the report card that we're to look for. You know, Jesus said, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, so many times we get it backwards. We say, you know, we want to get all these things and then God will approve. No, you know, it's so easy to go after the wrong thing, to get your priorities out of whack. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. The priority of life for people of faith is that God's will is supreme in their lives. What is God's will? In everything you do, what is God's will? Every life choice that you make, what is God's will? You know, a fellow winks at you. Gives you a big wink. Handsome fella. Walks by you and kind of notices you. What's God's will about that? What's God's will about your mate? What's God's will about where you live? What's God's will about what you do in life? God's will is supreme in people of faith. You know, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, Moses had it made. Didn't Moses have it made? He lived in the palace. He was adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses chose to suffer affliction with the children of God. He considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. For he looked beyond the grandeur of Egypt and saw the grandeur of heaven with his eyes of faith. Now that's what eyes of faith will do. The Bible said he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He walked away from the reward he saw with his senses to a reward he saw with his eyes of faith, and thereby gained a good report. He's in the list. We see this occur over and over in this world when a man or woman of means turns to Christ and leaves the wealth of this world. They become subject to ridicule from those who only can see that which they can sense. Those kind of folks are poor, they're blind, and they're deaf to God's world of eternal treasure. They see the glitter of this world's gold, but they are blind to the golden streets of heaven. So we learn that faith, then, is the channel through which God's blessings flow. Salvation flows through the channel of faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith comes to play. We are to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ because God commands us to believe, and with God's commands comes the power to comply. You know what? If God tells us to do something, there's power to comply. He gives the grace to obey. So God gives a channel of faith to access this grace. And upon accessing this grace, God is pleased by continuing faith, for we are now created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. and walking in them will be done in God's channel of faith. See how faith comes into play all the time. We're saved by grace through faith, and we walk in that salvation by faith. Now, as we continue, the Apostle Paul begins his treatise with a foundational truth for the discussion of faith by writing in Hebrews 11:3, through faith. Now notice the priority of his instruction in this chapter. He's talking about heroes of faith, but he starts a foundational truth. And he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's amazing how people trust in the things that they see, when those things that they see were made of things which do not appear. In other words, God made material things out of nothing. And they trust in that. They trust in that. So here he uses the word couplet, through faith, and continues this theme in later verses with the use of the word couplet, by faith. Through faith and by faith. That's a theme of this chapter. His first use, of course, is the absolute. You know, it's amazing how people of faith believe absolutes. Now, you can't, if you don't believe in God, there are no absolutes. But we believe in absolutes because we believe in God. Now, his first use, of course, is the absolute, that faith in God as the creator of all things is the foundation upon which all else depends in knowing God. Creation. So he starts out with creation. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith and faith alone, we believe the report given in the book of Genesis that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this truth, as we discuss faith, as we understand faith, this truth is foundational to having an understanding of yourself, an understanding of other people, an understanding of history as his story, and ultimately coming to an understanding of God, limited though that may be. We're limited in our understanding of God because we're finite. God begins his holy book with the account of creation, for creation demands a yielding of the created to their creator. That's what the account of creation tells us. It demands a yielding of the created to their creator. Now, you look around at creation. Do you see rebels in creation? Well, yeah, look at your neighbor. But do you see the animals rebelling against God? Do you see the trees or the stars rebelling against God? No, they yield to their creator. Now, think about the things you have brought into being. All of us have made things. Some have made things in the shop. Some have made things in the kitchen. Some of you are adept at the sewing machine and make things there. And some of you make things at work. And what about the children you have brought into the world by your actions? Now, don't you expect everything you have made or brought into this world to yield to you as its maker? That's what you expect. You know, you make something that you can use in the kitchen. You don't expect that to rebel against you. You expect that to yield to you as its maker. So if this is true with created beings, how much more is it true with the creator of all things? God expects his creation to yield to his hand. Because God is the creator of all things, he is the sovereign of the universe and demands his creation to perform or conduct itself in the orderliness and obedience of every principle upon which it is based. God tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament his handiwork. He has made it so easy to see how everything he has made conducts itself in accordance with his plan. Anyone can understand this. It is extremely easy to see in the heavens and in the firmament that there is a purpose and design in everything. You don't have to be a genius to know this. You can be a child and know this, that there is a plan and purpose and design in everything. Anyone who denies this exceedingly obvious and observable truth is simply saying, I don't want this creator in my life. That's what he's saying. You know, the verse that says, the fool hath said in his heart, and it says, there is no God. It also can be interpreted, no God for me. It's so obvious that there's a God. And to deny a God simply means I don't want him in my life. He or she simply promotes their blindness to the ultimate. You know, stand up for God when someone says, I believe in evolution, which basically says that things happened without a purpose, without a plan, without a designer. Stand up for God. And talk about the creation and the creator and that we're responsible to the one that created us. So God gives us a view of the universe to point us to faith in him. Through faith, we are given to understand the origin of all things and how all things fit together. You know, modern science tries to find this out by the senses. But God's word tells us that only by faith can this understanding come. God tells those who believe that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God tells us that things which are seen were made from words spoken by God. The things that you see and touch and feel and sense were all made by the word spoken by God. That which is material, that which is matter, that which scientists study to determine origins came from words. You think they'll discover that by studying the things that they look at and sense? Not any words, but words spoken by the sovereign of all, and without faith, scientists will never come to the right conclusion. Psalm 33, 6 and 9 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He breathed life. He breathed all matter. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You know, when God commands, things happen. And Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith, and I'll end on this, gives us understanding of how the heavens and the host of them that we see with the physical eye, the material universe and how it functions in time, came into being. We know that by faith. God reveals that to us by faith. They came into existence by the word of God. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. Without it, we would be lost. We would be undone. We would have no hope. But you've been so good to us, Father, to give us the word of God that we might have hope. And that through Christ Jesus our Lord, who shed his precious blood for us, and that by faith we can access this salvation.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.